Hello, my lovelies. I'm Jay Aquaninsight, and welcome to Aries season. These are going to be your Aries season messages. Now, as I've started to do the last few seasons, I do have a quote from an Aries native, Robert Downey Jr. His birthday's on the 4th of April, I think. And the quote that I have from him this season is, "I think that we all do heroic things, but hero is not a noun, it's a verb." Now, a lot of these quotes that I pick them months in advance. I think this one I picked maybe Capricorn Aquarius season, I don't remember. But having done the Aries season as I record this intro, that is very applicable. You will see it in the Aries reading. There's two things I want to cover in this very, very quick intro. Firstly, if you're watching this at the beginning of Aries season, please know that I opened my calendar for 9 days. This was requested. This was not something that I expected to do. I did record a short video just explaining this. Hopefully you've seen that by now, but it's only open for 9 days in between the two eclipses. So I think the first date is the 26th of March until the 5th of April. So I've opened those 9 days. It is. Two of the days are already fully booked. So you can book with me. There'll be details in the description of how you can do that. Now, secondly, I want to explain about the oracle cards. The first card that I pull, which is from a series of oracle decks called the Seasons of the Witch. This one is the Imbolc Oracle, and I think I've explained about this on Discord as well. It's not the kind of deck that I'm usually drawn to. If you know me, if you see the decks that I use, there's a number of reasons for it. It's not the deck I'm drawn to. So this was a very significant deck, the way that it came into my life. And the reason I'm using it is, even though we've come out of Imbolc now, we are entering Ostara, I think it's the 21st of March, or it's basically the equinox, right? The spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. A new season starts. But I wanted to pull this to show this is what we're bringing into this season. Now, the second card that I pull is from the Sacred Destiny Oracle, and that's the North Node is in Aries. So there's a lot around Sacred Destinies and stuff that are coming up. And then the final card, as I always do for fire seasons, is an animal spirit card. And this is the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit. I'm very excited for this season. Hopefully by the time you are watching this, I will have recorded and posted the Aries season cheat sheet, as I did for Pisces season. There'll be links to everything in the description, how to book, where you can find the Aries cheat sheet. All of that will be there, or check out my website. I do update my website with everything. I think that's about all that I have to share in this intro. I want to say I love you guys very much. Settle in. Let's get on with the reading. All right, Sagittarius. Right. Hello. Something weird has happened with your reading. Let me explain. Now, if you already watched the Aries reading, which is for everyone, right? Aries and Libra, they double up, especially this season with the eclipses and stuff. I don't know if this has ever happened before. I know that, you know, certain signs will get similar cards to one another or whatever. You got exactly the same first two oracle cards as Aries. Exactly the same. That culling and then happiness. I went and double checked. Because when I pulled them out, I was like, I'm getting deja vu. I've seen these before somewhere. And it was an Aries. So there's that. But they got Stingray, which is water. And it's about having a spine and more confidence and all the rest of it. You guys got Owl. So there's a different, that's the kind of only difference, which will be in how you embody it and how you express it, that energy. But yeah. Make sure, I mean, I don't usually like drive it home with it, but watch the Aries message, because that is for everyone. That is the season. And I'm gonna say this straight away, that second, like that, what do they call it, the solar eclipse, the new moon solar eclipse that's gonna happen in Aries, that is massive for you. Massive. I'm gonna say that straight away, just with this stuff that's coming up. I mean, you've got a solar eclipse, and that's a new beginning, right? Massive new beginning. It's happening in your fifth house. So yeah. But there you go. Bloody hell. I was like thinking, hang on, like, what's going on here? I've seen those two that came up. All right. So let me read these for you. I should have just recorded the beginning of the, replayed the beginning of the Aries one. We've got Cunning, and it says, I'm here present, ready to answer the call. I hear my beating roar coming back home to me. That's a theme that's coming up. And the keywords are coming back home to the self, answering the call, taking the action. It says, you've pulled this card today as confirmation you are on the right path. Congratulations. What you have asked about is right for where you are at this time in your life. And you could expect your situation to work out in a way that feels comfortable and natural for you. There is a feeling of coming back home to where you belong when receiving this card. Even if things are still a little rocky, know that this will soon be over and you are already moving towards bliss. This card serves as the yes card in this deck and also validates any idea, project or relationship you are interested in moving forward with. Answer the call that is ringing in your soul, because the excitement and joy you feel is your higher self telling you this is what you are here on earth to do or become. In some readings, this card indicates the need to spend more time at home or with family. I mean, family shit's going to keep coming up for Sag. I know we've talked about it. I've heard Christopher Witeki talking about it. I've been experiencing it because Saturn's in the fourth, right? Hold sign, Saturn is in the fourth sign of the fourth house. Speak, Jay. Fourth house of Sagittarius. So there's going to be a lot around family and home and stuff coming up. So it's where the hell was I? Right, in some readings, this card indicates the need to spend more time at home or with family to heal any outstanding domestic troubles. Though there isn't much to be concerned about in moving forward as long as you're showing a willingness to overcome any problems. All right. So we've got that. Right, sorry about that. Bloody lost the book. Anyway, this is happiness that we have. And it's the shimmering sunshine, if you could see that. Shimmering sunshine. And it says, our planet is at the center of our solar system. Our planet and our lives revolve around its cycles of light and dark. Our inner and outer biological rhythms, as well as the rhythms of every animate and inert part of life, are ruled by this celestial force. In the far past, the sun has been thought of as a god. Traditionally, it has been associated with happiness, joy, hope, enlightenment, illumination, truth, cheer, warmth, and goodwill. Additionally, sunlight is an expansive force. When something is heating up by the light of the sun, it enlarges. Without the energy of the sun, things contract. The sun carries the deepest energies of expansion in life. So to receive this card is to know that you are expanding. So, I mean, Aries is it's a fire season. It's your fifth house. You got exactly the same cards as Aries. So you are feeling this shit. Like, let's just say that you are feeling this. Now, your tarot cards are totally different. I checked what Aries got. You didn't get any of this. So yours is different from that. But you are embodying this. This is a massive season for you. Expansive energy. Now, you're an expansive sign anyway. You are ruled by Jupiter. I understand that your ruler has been in Taurus, which is not a fun place for Jupiter to be, right? I get it. Can't wait. I mean, the thing's going to get out of control once Jupiter's in Gemini, but I kind of look forward to that kind of chaos. And I think as a Sagittarius, you are built for that kind of chaos as well, right? So we've got that. But it's how you've been expanding. So not that you haven't been expanding. That's a very grown up, adult, physical way of, you know, what's my legacy? What am I doing? We've got that there. What am I trying to say? But let me read you what the sacred landscape wants you to know. It says, click your heels and shout for joy. The signs are with you. Let your light shine. So I want you to consider that. You might have been expanding what you have. Right? What you earn, what you can charge, what you spend, maybe even, I don't know, like very earth things. And that might be where you're looking to expand even more. But before you can do that, you must be willing to expand in who you are and how you show up. You become the sun, right? So there's parts of that coming up. Where was I? Let your light shine. Abounding good luck awaits you. A gateway is opening for even more joy and happiness. Your life is expanding. Opportunities are emerging. This is the time to go forward with glee. Love deeply and fully. Embrace life with open arms. Goodness is flowing to you. The only thing to be aware of is to monitor your expansion in a metered way. Too much, too fast can be overwhelming. Yeah, and too much, too fast is Sag all over. Let's be honest, right? And if you're kind of new or you're thinking, what the hell, why is she being so like that with Sag? I'm a Sagittarius rising, so I know that shit intimately. Then we have Owl. And Owl is abundance, clairvoyant, treasures. The owl is a mysterious and otherworldly creature found in folklore from east to west. The white owl in this particular deck is the companion of the goddess Lakshmi and represents wealth, beauty, and good fortune. When the owl card appears, it's an omen that a boon or treasure is on the way, either in spiritual or material form. With owl wisdom on your side, you'll see and know exactly what to do with this boon, how it can further serve your dharma and bring abundance to the world. Trust that the wellspring of treasures is infinite. When in balance, generous, trusting, secure. When out of balance, money quarrels, scarcity. To bring into balance, an offering. Look, it's going to become very, very important this season. You know that optimism and devil may care and all of that, you know, irreverent humor, all of the stuff that Sag is known for. It's time to dig deep for that. It's time to dig deep. And hopefully you don't have to dig so deep. But I kind of know Sagittarius's 12th house is Scorpio. I know that there is a lot of like junk in the trunk with Sagittarius, right? You got Scorpio as your 12th. It happens. But this is not about playing the clown. This is about like your that true light that's within you to come shining out. That's it's that period. And I get it. Like, we've got some practical stuff here. We've got practical stuff here. So you've been kind of balancing it out, the material side more. But remember that the had to balance this or, you know, had to work with this energy is an offering. What are you offering? In relationships, in business, in work, in whatever it is that you're doing, in your home, what do you offer? How do you show up? What are you invested in? The Ten of Pentacles is a long-term security and stability. And like I said, there's a switch happening here from what can I get? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, trust me, Sagittarius has had Pluto in its second house since 2008, right? That is a messed up place to have Pluto, right? Messed up. Good luck, Capricorn, right? Because that's where the transformation stuff happens, like the money that you earn and do whatever. So, you know, and Sag isn't really a kind of sign that's concerned too much with that. There's more earth stuff. So in a lot of ways, but, you know, the beauty of having had Pluto there for so long and that transit now ending is that there a lot has transformed in how you want to earn money, on the role that money plays in your life, on the role that, you know, the value that you give it. So we've got all of that stuff, right? And it shows Six of Pentacles, Ten of Pentacles. You got but you got the Wheel of Fortune as Jupiter coming with this. Like, that time has changed. That wheel has turned. Let's get clarifiers for this. I really kind of almost feel like I've given you your reading with just those cards. Just the Oracle cards. It's just weird, but let's see. It's going on here. All right. Going on with the Six of Pentacles. Oh, God. Right. Five of Cups, right? Regret, loss, missed opportunities. Around giving and receiving, around the reasons that you've done things in the past, all of that. But out of that, Seven of Cups was born a dream. So Seven of Cups is, what is a dream worth pursuing? Now, you're very aware of what wasn't working, but what is a dream worth pursuing? I want to say this to you, Sag, like, you may have felt like you've made decisions. I feel like you've made choices, but there's a sense now of, actually, let me take that back. So you may have made decisions, right? There's something I'm up around that. It's these two here. You may have made decisions. She comes up when there's a decision to make. She's really good at making decisions and why she makes them. But I think you've already made decisions. Those decisions have offered you new choices. Are you going to make a new decision now, or are you going to choose something else, or choose to show up in a different way? This doesn't mean leave the job, leave the relationship, do whatever. But it's a greater awareness of what matters to you. It's not about ticking boxes. It's not about, making sure it's done. It's not about, the going through the life hacks, or, I don't know, Huberman does this and, oh, Goggins does that. It's like, that's great. All of that is great for you to know how to show up, how to give to what matters, how to motivate yourself, how to like do all of that stuff. Like, those processes done. Great. But if you feel like, you have a dream of any kind of substance, or that you have a direction that really matters to you, I don't know if you do. Or, and even if you do, no, nah, I'm not gonna say it. I'm not gonna, I mean, yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. I mean, this is gonna answer the thing what I was just gonna say. Let me get you one from here for the towel. I was gonna kind of like hedge it and say, oh, well, even if you think that you do, that then it's about how you show up. But that goes without saying. This goes without saying. So the Ten of Pentacles is your long-term whatever, right? Long-term security, long-term stability. You're coming in with this. It's not a prediction, right? Tower's already happened. You might be, as you've clicked play on this video, lying in the rubble of that tower, right? So some of you, but either way, it's what we're coming in with. And you've got Ten of Pentacles, Tower, Five of Wands, right? So that Ten of Pentacles, long-term security and stability, what you think it is, what it has been for you, what you are committed to, long-term, whatever it is, it has been busted wide open, and that's Mars, right? By how you are willing to challenge yourself. And that's what I will ask you as you're coming into this, right? That, hear my beating roar coming back home to me, is how have you been challenging yourself? Because I think you're ready to challenge yourself in a different way. Five of Wands, it's to pull out some new moves. Like, you've done this, right? Five of Cups is a card of chaos, so it's the Five of Wands. But the Five of Wands are my favorite five. It's where, if you ever had seen that thing, I've shared it so many times on Discord as well, that, the devil whispers, you cannot withstand the storm. The warrior, the warrior says, I am the storm. This is where you become the storm with the Five of Wands. This is where we are, like, regretting what happened with the storm, regretting this, that, and the other. Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? This is straight up, bring it. I don't know what I'm going to do, Five of Wands, but I will find a way to navigate this. I will pull out some new moves. And so there's a new, if you feel fired up, you are a fire sign, right? And you're not as impulsive as, or in your face as Aries and Leo. But, I think, always think that Sagittarius can be a little bit more detached. Just because of the archer is at a distance, throwing an, like, it was shooting an arrow, throwing an arrow, shooting an arrow. So I get that. But if you feel pissed off, if you feel angry, I was talking to my sister yesterday, and I actually felt she was angry. She was angry. And I said to her, you know what? Anger is on the same spectrum as passion. And that's where it is. So know that that's your vibration. Like, you must raise your vibration, happiness, joy, and like all that stuff that is said. Recognize it, have eyes to see it. If someone is pissing you off, trust me, I've had the most insights come in through getting pissed off with people. And I don't go up to them and say, you pissed me off, or start a fight with them, or need to tell, like, I don't make it about that person. I realize when I'm angry, when I'm pissed off, when I'm annoyed, when I'm and my if I'm screaming and shouting and bitching and complaining, that's like level one for me. Like, that's that, I'm still good. To me, it's still a joke. I can laugh about it and I'll be fine. It's when I'm very when I'm actually like, you know, white hot angry, I'm very calm. I speak very slowly and I might even be smiling at you, but that is when I'm the most dangerous. When I get like that. And so I haven't been like that for a while now, but you know, when I can get to that place, especially now, maybe that's one of the reasons I don't, I'm able to channel that into creating something. Right. You know, if you so just sort of take, for example, the work that I do online, when you make videos, when you do whatever, right, you hear stuff. I mean, I've had stuff like people just trolls like send me death threats and stuff like that, right? That doesn't even annoy me anymore. But the first when you get people who like try to harass you, or I'll tell you one thing that does piss me off, people that speak on me as if they know me, like that, or tell me what to do, or inhibit my experience of a situation. I'll give you an example. I was talking about my family or something somewhere, like, you know, oh, this is my thing with my family. Oh, climbing a mountain with my family. And somebody started saying to me, oh, well, maybe it's this, and maybe you could see your family like this. And I was thinking, bitch, are you really fucking telling me how about my family? Like, what? And it was a totally ego statement on them, like, you know, that somebody wants to come in and fit, you know, be in that place of power. That's why people do it, because it makes them feel powerful. It's a very cheap way of feeling powerful, but you know, it makes you feel powerful because you get to speak on someone. You get to, you know, give your lofty view of, oh yeah, well, this is what's actually going on here. Like, it's your family, it's your dream, you're the one that's sharing an experience, but I know better than you, right? And so that usually that will annoy me. However, and that's just one example. If you look at it on the spectrum of the anger that comes up, that is on the same spectrum as passion. So what is inspired in me? What challenged me? And I think I asked that person a very simple question. I said, do you watch my videos? Like, you know, thinking, this can't be someone that knows me. Like, there's no way this person knows me if they're talking to me like that, number one. But so you behave differently, challenge yourself to behave differently. But also, I had this massive realization that, you know, what wonderful relationships and ways of communicating with each other that we've developed, say, on a place like the Discord server, right? You know, in that community, that the way when sometimes when new people come on and they're used to like talking to each other like shit, right? Like on YouTube, the way people talk to each other, we don't talk to each other like that. We don't speak on each other's experiences. We share them openly with each other. We say, this is where I am, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm doing. But that is not an invitation for someone to bring, you know, bring your ego and, you know, have fun with it. Like, we don't do that to each other. Everyone's too self-aware. Everything is an I statement. So why would we speak on each other? We just blatantly speak from where we are. And that's the thing. That was the passion. And I felt inspired then by all of that stuff. So be mindful that even if you've got, because what I think a lot of people do is avoid people like that, avoid situations, avoid friction, avoid fire. And the Five of Wands is that, it's that friction, it's that metal sharpening metal. Know that a new version of you can come out in those situations, and know that anger and rage and all of that stuff, it's on the same spectrum. Sorry, hitting the mic there. It's on the same spectrum as passion. So you are just, you know, one kind of deep breath away from being able to channel that into something else, into something creative. I say that because of all the fifth house stuff that's coming up for you, right? And let's see. What? Yeah, if you're thinking, what is she doing? Why is she speechless? Wheel of Fortune clarified by the Wheel of Fortune. We're at Jupiter's kids. We got some news coming in. I'm gonna get one more. Actually, no, I'm gonna dip from this one. It's time to just drop the burden, drop the shit, drop the oh. The Ten of Wands is a Sagittarius card. And hold on one second. Right, sorry. The Ten of Wands is a Sagittarius card, and it has a very specific meaning for me when I'm reading for Sagittarians. just because I've seen it come up so many times, this is the joy of having read for so many like personal readings for people, you get to know what they mean. And the Ten of Wands has a very specific meaning when it comes up for a Sagittarius or someone that's got Sagittarius energy. What is that? It's once most, a lot of people will get readings or will come to you will be for, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go in. I don't know, you know, all of that. The usually Sagittarius don't know what they're supposed, not Sagittarius, sorry. Like, you know, that's, people are looking for excitement or a project or something to do, right? What should I do next? I don't know what to do. A lot of people with Sagittarius energy, and I mean sun, moon, rising. I know someone else who has got their Mars and Venus in Sagittarius, right? So Sag energy is not that. Sag energy is there is too much shit to do and not enough time to do it. Now, here's where Sagittarians can cripple themselves with that way of thinking. Ten of Wands, right? Is it's that thing of, oh, I've got so much shit. I've got so many options. I could do so much, right? And it's like, well, pick one. That's where Sagittarians can screw themselves up. It's because they have so many great ideas, right? So many, well, I could do this and I could do that. And I could do this. And I want to go here. And I want to do that. And so you've got all these great ideas. And I've got bloody notebooks filled around me with stuff. That's why I start keeping notebooks. I could do that. But it's like, unless you pick one, unless you do one, you're doing none of them. And in a way, that is a different way of procrastinating. Like collecting things that you could do without doing any of them. All the plans, all the ideas, all the books, all the great books, all the courses, weekend courses taken, all the videos watched, all the life hacks that you know, all of the information. And it's like, but what do I do with it? That's why temperance comes up, right? Temperance is the one, stop collecting experiences and do something with what you know. So we got double Jupiter here, and it's like, it's time, man. It's time. Either we're going to do this or not. Now, I get why that comes up for you, because you've got Mercury retrograde in your fifth house, right? Mercury's going to go retrograde, I think it's in about a week. So Mercury goes retrograde. And with this, the Ten of Wands coming up there, it is going to be like, how do you start things? How do I express things? Have I started too many things at once? Under the guise of, oh, it's a challenge and, you know, I'm committed to it or something, right? And also, I want to say this. If you have had, and you're coming in with this, right? So it's already started. If you have had too many opportunities, pick one. Pick the one that you find the most challenging as well. That's the one I'm going to say to you with that Five of Wands. But there's already a liberation and you will be revisiting this. So there's something about choices and decisions. Don't worry about it. Like, hey, remember in Aquarius season? That is a theme for the whole year. I've realized that with those Aquarius readings. So go back and check it out, the Sag reading for Aquarius season, right? Because that's the thing. That's what Sag, they're afraid to get stuck. You're not going to get stuck with this. Mercury, this is Mercury retrograde. You'll get new information. You'll rethink it. But that doesn't mean you don't pick something to do now. And what might be coming up for you this season, especially with that retrograde, is what you no longer give a shit about. Like, you might have already picked this and decided Eight of Cups. Yeah, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I'm emotionally invested in this. That I picked it before. This could even be a rebound thing. I want to say that because you've got the Seven of Cups here, which is the dream worth pursuing. But it comes out of regret, right? Trying to find balance, trying to give to something after a time of regret. So there's a kind of rebound, like a rebound job, rebound project, rebound whatever you want to do here. And this is where you realize, oh shit, that was just a rebound person or relationship or whatever. Eight of Cups, because you don't, that's settling. No one really, not no one, you don't really care about it, right? It's like, why would I give my time, attention, effort, energy to something that I don't really care about? Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. Right, let's go. Let's go, Sag. Hi, I'm taking a breath for you guys. Eight of Cups, don't really care about. Some of you, I wonder if this is a rebound thing, right? But it's in the past, so you know this. This is not new information. What you are focused on right now is not what you've been focused on. And that's the thing, you don't really know what to focus on in terms of that. Maybe there's too many options, maybe something's taken up your time, effort and energy, but you're headed in the right direction and no matter what's gone on. And the High Priestess is, find yourself in this situation, find yourself. What reflection of you is being shown to you? Because that's what the High Priestess is saying, that's what she will show you. That's your intuition. It will tell you why. It will tell you why you don't care about this. It will tell you why you did whatever. It will tell you why you've held on to so many, I could do this. And it will tell you that if not now, then when? If not you, then who? Double Wheel of Fortune. And it will show you the version of you that is now ready to come out. Because if you can see your reflection in the thing, that is also what will be reflected in your relationships. Say that again. If you can see what version of you is being reflected in, you know, even the thing that you're not interested in or whatever, because that shows a part of yourself that you're not interested in being anymore, right? Everywhere we look, we find ourselves. So if you've got that with the High Priestess, then when you get the King of Wands, this is like, no, this is the part of me that I'm ready to share with the world. This is fifth house energy. It's Leo energy, right? It's that, this is my world. This is who I am. This is, you know, it's the entrepreneur. It is the guy that has the startups. And do people still have startups? Anyway, but you know that, all of that stuff with the King of Wands, who you're ready to show up as, what you're ready to be seen as. And especially with this. Now, I just want to say this because I can see this reflected here. If you're watching this because you started dating a Sag and now you're afraid that you're the rebrand person, it's not that, right? It, because the realization is not about the other person. The realization is about what you wanted to be reflected of yourself or how you see yourself. That's the key part here. And I want to say this, especially to Sag as well. Now, it's not about who you're with. It's about how you've been showing up. It's not about the support that you've had. It's the support that you will allow. It's the version of you. That's the key part here. Because that's what will be expressed. And that the High Priestess is going to give you a massive why. What, you know, oh my God, that gif, I use it all the time. Hang on, I'll show it to you. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It's not that important. But it's that, you know, dear diary, why am I like this? Like, it's that. It's literally that. Why am I like this? High Priestess will give you the answer. And it will be to do with something about how you're seen in relationships or as support or the support that you allow. Oh, I get why this is coming up. It makes sense. You've got a full moon lunar eclipse happening in your 11th house, which is like how you work well with others. So I get it. It makes sense to me. I was so focused on your 5th, I forgot about your 11th, but this hasn't forgotten about your 11th. Now, we've got justice here. I do want to say this, and there's that Libra energy. I want to say this, guys, right? And take it from an Aquarius, and I'm going to say to Sag. I think Sages make amazing friends. I've got amazing Sag friends. And Sagittarius is the 11th house of Aquarius. So it's why Aquarius is the kind of friend that Aquarius can be, is because it's got Sagittarius in the 11th. Sometimes it can be frightening to have people rely on us or to need us, right? I mean, I don't like to be needed. I like to be wanted, but I don't want to be needed, right? There's a difference. It's a very specific way this is coming through. It isn't always about, like, because I'm always getting the sense here of, I'd really want to, I want that kind of a connection. I want that kind of a thing. But you have to show yourself as that, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something different about this. And I guess why I'm tripping up is because for me, like, the friends that will check on me the most and keep an eye on what I'm doing and just like, hey, like, what's going on and stuff, will be like my Gemini and Sag friends. They're the ones that, you know, hey, what's going on? Like, what's whatever. And you'd think it might be like the war signs or whatever. No, it's my Gemini and Sag friends who are the most like, you know, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? How did that go? what happened, right, you know, with that. So they will check in on me the most, and maybe they feel like they can, I don't know, like, you know, it's definitely, it's not they, that I'm not saying Geminis and Sagittarius are the best friends in the world, I'm saying they're my best friends, right, somehow my dynamic, that those are the ones that, that work the best with me. However, right, it's almost as if you're having this new kind of connection, and it is less about the other person and what you can do for them or what they can do for you even, right? It's not that. It's this, how you show, what do you bring to that relationship? What do you bring to those dynamics? How expansive are you? Are you shining like the bloody sun in that relationship? This is not false, like pretending like nothing's wrong. But remember, when you're carrying this, Ten of Wands, the burdens that you carry, right? You don't need to carry all of these. The Ten of Wands always says that. The Ten of Wands is saying we don't need to carry all of this shit. Whether they're emotional burdens, whether they're responsibilities, whether they're projects that you want to do, whatever it is. Because that Wheel of Fortune twice, Jupiter's coming up twice, they'd say, drop this shit, right? And Jupiter is in your sixth house in Taurus. And it is going to be getting ready to go into your seventh relationship stuff, right? So how much you're doing day to day, what you do day to day, what you're doing with your time, the burdens that you carry, right? You don't need to carry all of them. And you will shine much brighter when you remove this. I don't know, like, what am I thinking about? So say you have to deal with people that complain to you a lot, right? So you do that and you're like, oh God, man, I need to, you will realize that you're like, if I stop listening to these people complaining, right, I will have more energy for myself and more energy to give to the world. If I can, you know, stop doing that job that's making me miserable, right, then I'll be more fired up and have more to share and more to create in the world. It's got that type of a feel. That's what I'm trying to say. And it impacts your relationships. It impacts your ability to relate. It impacts your ability to give support and to receive it. And to relate to other people. That's what I'm going to say. Now let's go to justice. Exactly. How you balance things out. How you make decisions. Your ability to see your, like, what you see and what others see and stuff is changing. This is the Death card. Transformation. Well, I mean, how many times can I say it? And I don't know how many other ways to say it. Two of Wands is changing. We're going in a different direction. Two of Wands is Mars and Aries. So it is about what we do, right? And how we do it. Queen of Wands, bloody hell, let's go. Let us go. Do you want to say this as well? For any of you Sagittarians that are single and looking to mingle, be very careful. It's not a warning, even though it sounds like one as I start this, right? Be very mindful. Forget careful. Forget being careful. Be mindful that it's almost as if how you show up, how much you show up, what you show to the world. And I don't just mean when you're out dating. I don't just mean on your profile. I mean when you're by yourself in your room. I mean when you are, whatever you're doing, right, in your life, however you do it, the reasons that you do it, what you are focused on, what you are intent on being seen as. The match is there. These two, when they come up together and you got the Two of Cups, there is potential here that this is what comes up. Now, even if you're in a relationship, here's just very mundane messages coming up, but I get it. It's because Jupiter's in your sixth. I want you to consider this, guys, that even if you're with your friends or in a relationship or with a whatever, business partner, whatever, and you can be saying all the right things, doing all the right things, smiling, happy, whatever, right? The connection comes from the emotional place. Right, this, the Two of Cups. That's how, these are the connections that count. This is how we have middle ground. We don't have the same cups, but we understand each other, right? We support one another. That's the Two of Cups. If you want something like that, right, then you must be aware of what your energy is saying. I said this to Aquarius a while back as well. You must be aware of what your energy is saying. if you slap on a smile, you go out there and you're laughing and you're joking and you're like the, you know, the clown and everyone's happy around you. But you go home and you're crying, and you go home and or you're angry or you're pissed off or you know, whatever it is, but we see this as, oh no, what I'm the face that I'm putting onto the world. What you are actually sharing and what you will connect with is other people's anger, other people's despair, other people's hopelessness. Like, be aware of that. There's a shedding going on here, and there is an awareness of the inside must match the outside. Oh, that's a weird way of putting it. I would never have thought that for Sagittarius, but I'll tell you why, right? Because you got justice. It's this and that. It's the balance. It's the harmony. But it's the expression of your internal balance, because there's something that's changed here. This does not mean that you have to be shiny, happy people all the time, right? This doesn't mean that. You know, I can have bad days. I will say, I'll be like, oh God, guys, I was so annoyed. The other day, I was like, oh God, I'm experiencing this rubber band situation where, you know, this rubber like this, and I was honest about it because it's not a big deal to me. I'll get over it. It's a day, right? Or 2 days. But that's who I am. I'm not good or bad or anything because of it. It's just where I am. And so my inside matches my outside. I'm honest about where I am. You may still get people, like I gave the example of someone who'll come in and either try to make you feel better when you don't want to feel better, you know, but that's on them. Then you know we don't match. But you will only know that you truly match with people if they can match with who you really are. Right? And I who did I say this to? I think it was maybe Scorpio or someone. I was talking about this, that's a revelation that I'm having in my relationships, in that it's not even about ending relationships, not even about walking away from relationships. You will realize that some relationships are not relationships. If they don't know who you are, who are they relating to? If you don't know who they are, who are you relating to? No one. So we want to follow our bliss. We want to, you know, there's a lot around this here, that don't be so overburdened with other people's burdens, especially, or all of this kind of busy, crazy noise, you know, too much. I don't know. Maybe you get phone calls from your family members all the time and everyone's doing your head in or something. How will you notice the boon? How will you notice what this owl is bringing? You must have eyes to see and ears to hear. And if we're trying to kind of dim the noise within us, right? If the noise within us is so loud, I've noticed this so much on in being parts of communities, in that if you join a group of people in a community, and I learned this about 8 years ago, because someone asked me the question. They said, you're a really good listener. That's what they said to me. I don't actually think I'm that good of a listener, but you're a really good listener. And I said, I understood what they meant, but because in the context of that group, and it was a very massive group, that a lot of people would come in to be seen. They were worried about how they were seen. And so you could almost, it was palpable, feel the internal natter of, oh God, like, well, I wonder if anyone likes me. And, you know, you could almost feel it. So they're so caught up in worrying about how they're being perceived that they're not present. They're not present in that. They're not actually listening to what you're saying. It's like they came in, they would do their performance, right? And then leave. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. That's insecurity. That's what it will do to you, being insecure, being anxious. Like, it does that to people. And I said, when you're not trying to like think, oh God, what's this person thinking? Am I saying the right thing? Is it going to be whatever? Those are burdens, right? Well, when you don't have that noise, you actually listen to what people are saying to you. Then you actually know how to respond. Then you know which direction to go in. So be mindful. There's a lot around relationships that comes up for you, right? Around this. I want to see what this Page of Swords is saying, because in the future, you've got this beginner's mindset, which is again like being aware. There's context to this. Let me listen. Let me see what's going on. The Empress, or the Mother in this deck. Whoa. Right, I'm going to take it because it comes up. You got the King of Swords. So now you've got the King of Wands and the Queen of Wands, and you've got the King of Swords and the Queen of Swords. So this is like a meeting of the minds, and this is a meeting of they will never try to compete with each other. They never try to outshine each other, right? They each have their own experience. The King of Wands will shine brighter and brighter, knowing that he doesn't have to dim his light because she has her own light. And they know that the more I light up the place and, you know, shine, the more the other person does as well. Like, you don't have to dim or adjust your own light, because they're both secure. They both have their own source of light. And they know that the more that I shine in the shine, and achieve and be, the more that my partner will be as well. So they kind of boost each other up. These two, I love it. That's the meeting of the minds, how they speak to one another. You can't make this shit up. I knew that King of Swords was right. So you've got them here together now. I also love, I mean, look at this. You got the High Priestess coming up with the King of Wands, but you got the Empress coming up with the King of Swords. So it is the balance. It's not just masculine, feminine, and that kind of thing. And in fact, this looks like the Lovers deconstructed. That's what this feels like, if I'm really honest. Think about that, right? How they speak to one another. They're different. The King's the King, the Queen's a Queen. The King of Wands is all about what he does, his inspirations, whatever he's influenced by or inspired by, he acts on that. So does the Queen of Wands. They lead by example. They take the different direction. They go and do something different. Like, all of that's changed, though, in what you want to do. So then how you think about it and how you speak about it must also change. Maybe in the past, it was okay to meet people like that you were passionate, that you could have fun with, you know, a little partner in crime. I get it. I'm like that. You have a partner in crime. You can go on adventures together. But now it's like someone, I kind of feel like I want someone who can understand me, like when I speak as well, when I talk about ideas, when I speak my truth, I want to have a conversation. It's not just about doing and stuff, that I nurture the other person, they nurture me in what we think, how we think, the ideas that we come up with, the decisions that we come up with. Now, if this is nothing to do with relationships for you, it will be reflected in your relationships, this stuff, because it speaks to the relationship that you have with yourself around what you create. You can't just run off and go do something, right? You kind of know the past and the present around this and the future. You kind of know, these are the ideas that I'm using. This is what I know about myself and how I was changed by this. But you're also open to learning something new with the Page of Swords coming up there. There's a lot being nurtured and grown here. I mean, if you think about the Page of Swords is, I have an idea, but I don't have any context to it. So I'm open, right? I'm curious. I'm going to show tact and caution. I'm ready to go learn something new, to find out more information. Don't really know much. The Queen of Swords knows how she's been changed by her past, all the difficult experiences. But she's fearless. Damaged people are dangerous. They know they can survive. Here's my story. What's your story? The King of Swords, he has knowledge and he knows how to use that. His wisdom is that he knows how to use what he knows. And with the Empress here, this is the Lovers and Temperance deconstructed, this whole reading. With the Empress there, it's like what you nurture, what you hold space for, is all of this. You let all of this cook. You let all of this, your values, you're going to let it grow and become something, and give birth to something new, create something new. It's not just enough that you will do it and that you're willing to run into places where angels wouldn't dare, right? It's not enough that you would do that. Now it's also that I will talk about it. I have knowledge about it. You know, I'm willing to learn about it. I'm going to ask questions about it. I can discuss this. A meeting of minds, not just actions. And with the Queen of Swords, I mean, I've already said it, but that's what you're saying to you. Damaged people are dangerous. They know they can survive. You know you can survive. It's not just about, you know, breaking even. And this is a truer form of justice, a balance and harmony here, in that you're able to consider all sides, like what you need to do, but also the truth behind it, right? You're able to consider all sides and make decisions, big life decisions for justice. You've got the perfect people ready to decide that. This is more in the day to day. Like, this could be like balance in the moment, and you needed it because there was loss here and this was trying to figure something new out. But you're ready for something bigger and you're ready to be more dynamic with it. Yep. And also, Nine of Wands is tired of telling a certain story about yourself. You're ready for a new story. Like, King of Pentacles. Well, Seven of Wands, right. There is something, the King of Pentacles is abundant, right? He knows what he values. And what he values is not what he has, not what he does. His value, oh sorry, his time is his greatest resource, and he knows how to use his resources really well. But time is his greatest resource. So I would say that to you first of all, how do you use your time? Especially considering everything that you've been through, everything that you would like to do, who you are right now, what you stand for right now. And I'm gonna say, like, beyond all of the other stuff that I said, Ten of Wands, Nine of Wands, look at your schedule. Look at what you do with your time. What are you doing with that time? Or how much time do you spend? You might be working too much. You might not be working enough. You might feel like, oh God, I'm rushed and I don't have enough time. And you know that, that time that you spend in the morning, like, I don't know, that you could tighten it up a little bit. There's more that you could do with your time. I say that because the King of Pentacles, whenever he shows up, there's always something that he can do with that. And if we're going to look at matching things here, Two of Cups almost covers like the King and Queen of Cups, right? A meeting of the hearts, a meeting emotionally. Like, we can find common ground there. We may not feel the same, but we can support each other. Platonic connection, support. A meeting of action. You can find people that do things with you and do whatever. Meeting of the minds here. That's what we're going into. But there's only the King of Pentacles here. There's no Queen of Pentacles come up. But we don't really need her in some ways because we've got the Empress. The Empress, the mother in this deck. Because she does that. She nurtures. So, Eight of Cups is, why would I give my time, effort, energy, my words, my emotions, my heart, my feelings, my attention, anything to things that don't matter to me? Why would I? Because you waste your energy doing that. You get exhausted doing that. This is about becoming laser focused on that which matters to you, that which you value, that which you stand for, that which you want to talk about, that which brings you passion and excitement and drives you. How do you do that? Yours is powerful, and I feel like it's a two-parter with the Aries one. So check out the Aries one. Let me know how you get on, and I hope that you will come back before the end of the month and let me know how you get on with this. But there you go, my lovelies. Those are your messages. I love you guys very much. I will see you next time, but that's all for now. Goodbye.